Jump into the message. I want to invite you to pull your message notes out and follow along with me today. We're getting into the good stuff. This is where God's promise for your life gets really, really exciting. This is where the journey really gets fun. The last two promises are excellent, amazing what God does in our life, but now we get into the really good stuff of where God wants to take us. The whole series is titled Four Cups of Passover, the Four Cups of Passover, and the word Passover, again, it's a Jewish term. It literally is the celebration of independence, is what the Passover stands for. It'd be the equivalent of our 4th of July, is what it is. It's when they got out of Egypt, they were delivered from slavery, and were able to move into the promised land. And in the Passover story, God makes four promises to the children of Israel. And the reason these promises are significant is because if you know the heart of God through studying the Bible, these are the same four promises that God desires for every human being on earth to experience. And so we call them the four cups of Passover because if you've ever been to a Jewish Passover or a Jewish Seder, to this day, for the last 3,500 years, they'll drink four cups of wine. And with each cup of wine, they'll collectively, the whole room together, will say out loud, read one of the four I will promises God made the nation of Israel. The same four promises that God wants to happen in your heart and in your life today. These four things. So we say symbolically, God just wants you to drink out of these four cups. And so what we've done as a church is we've literally designed our entire church programming around these four cups. Like, we just intentionally made a decision. We're not going to do a lot of stuff as a church. We're going to stay focused on four things to help people in our church drink out of these four cups or to experience the fulfillment of these four promises in their life. So we began the series week number one with Christ, our Passover Lamb. And very foundational message. If you missed it, please go to the iTunes or to our website. Listen to that message because it's the foundation for the series. You have to understand Christ, Jesus, is the fulfillment of Passover. During the Passover story, there had to be the sacrifice of a lamb and the blood of the lamb for the Passover angel to pass over the homes of the Israelites. Well, Christ became the lamb that was sacrificed, slaughtered on our behalf so that we could experience these promises. And that's significant because none of these promises will happen without him. Like, you can't experience one of these without Jesus being at the center. He's the only one that gives the power and potential for these things to happen in our life. Then the last 2 weeks, we dug into the first and second promise. And so to review them with you, Exodus chapter 6, beginning in verse 6, this is the same passage of scripture that's read at the Passover ceremony. These are the four promises. And again, during the Jewish Seder, they'll drink the cup of wine and they'll recite out loud one of these four promises with each cup of wine. It says, therefore, say to the Israelites, I am the Lord. And here's the first promise that they all say out loud. And I will bring you out from under the yoke of the Egyptians. And that's God's first promise for your life, is he just wants to bring you out. He just wants to bring you out. He's not trying to fix you or clean you up or heal your marriage and get everything worked out in your life. He just wants to bring you out. And we talked about that 2 weeks ago, and a great message to listen to if you missed it. Then the second promise is, then I will free you from being slaves to them. And that's the life of freedom. God wants you to live a life of freedom. We all have things that either hold us back, and if they don't hold us back, they at least slow us down. You know, just issues, baggage, junk from our past, little dings that we get going through life. And God wants to free us from that junk. That's what we dealt with last week. Then what we're going to get into today is this third promise where God says, and I will redeem you. And what's really cool about this one is this is the only one where God tells you how he's going to do it. Like, he actually tells you how he's going to do it in the promise. He says, I will redeem you two ways, one with an outstretched arm and two with mighty acts of judgment. So he describes how he's actually going to do this promise. And we're going to really dig into that today and what those two things mean and represent for us. And then the fourth promise is, I'll take you as my own people and I will be your God. And that's the ultimate goal, is to really understand what life in God's family is all about. It's a sense of fulfillment. And then he goes on to say, then you will know that I'm the Lord your God. Or in other words, you're finally going to discover what Christianity is all about, what it was always supposed to be. See, what a lot of people reject in the church and reject in what they think is Christianity is not Christianity at all. They're rejecting some warped idea of what it is. Because I think if people really saw God's heart and really saw what simply God was trying to do in their life, I don't think anybody could reject how good these four promises really are. So let me give you the technical terms of them. The first one is the Jews call the cup of sanctification. That's that fancy word, sanctify, which means set apart. We simply call that salvation. God just wants to save you. He wants to bring you out. And this is the only promise that stands all by itself. This promise is all on its own. It has nothing to do with the other three. It's completely independent because it's totally initiated by God's grace. It is a free gift of God. It's the easiest cup you will ever drink out of, but it will cost you everything. Literally, it will. It's the easiest to receive, but it'll cost you your whole life. Then the second cup is the cup of deliverance. That's freedom. Unfortunately, this is where most people today are stuck. The majority of Christians, studies say 87% of people today are stuck in this cup. Like they never get beyond this cup. I had coffee with a guy this week, wonderful guy, been in church for years, faithful to church, part of small groups, committed to God, even works for a Christian organization. And as I began to go through these cups, he said, you know what? That's where I'm at. I'm stuck. I haven't really stepped into what I was created for. I'm not really living the life that God destined me for. I'm kind of just living this life where I'm just forever learning more about God and never really living it out. And now we want to get into the good stuff, which is the third promise we're talking about today, the cup of redemption. Redemption, and that's what we call restoration. God wants to restore you. He wants to bring you back to the original factory condition that he made you to be before life. You know, we go through life and we get into wrecks and we get dinged up and we get engine problems and we get all sorts of issues going on and scratches and our doors keyed and everything else. And God's like, I just want to get you restored. I want to put you back to the way I originally created you. And then the fourth cup is the cup of praise, which is all about fulfillment. This is when you go to bed at night and you go to bed satisfied. Like you go to bed at night and you're just like, I live today exactly the way I was made to live. Like this is what life is all about. You wake up in the morning excited because you've got purpose, you've got destiny, you know what life is all about. And if you haven't got to this place, this life of what we call fulfillment, then it is my honor to take you on this journey. And I am thrilled today because all of us are on a spiritual journey. The problem is many people just don't know where they're at in the journey. And so the reason we do this series is to help you identify where are you at on this journey? Like what cup are you in and what cup do you need to drink out of? And if God had his way with you, like if God had an agenda for your life, what is God's agenda for your life? It's simply that you drink out of these four cups. This is God's heart for you. It's God's plan for your life. And so today we want to dig in to this third cup, this third promise. And I'm excited that I get to be kind of your, the pastor's a shepherd, someone who leads the sheep. So in essence, I get to be your tour guide and help you take this journey and really discover what this is all about. So let's dig into it. Exodus, again, 6 verse 6, the third promise, I will redeem you with an outstretched arm and with mighty acts of judgment. Let's look at this word redeem. This word redeem in the dictionary, there's three definitions I found in the dictionary. The first one is to buy back or repurchase. God wants to buy back or repurchase you. Now, notice it doesn't say God wants to purchase you. It says God wants to repurchase you. Why does God repurchase you? You see, when you were born, God made you. God created you. When you were born, you were God, but because of sin, because of Adam and Eve, because of the world that we live in, we all end up going our own way, away from God, because we're born sinners. And so the way I like to say it is we end up being owned by somebody else. Like we start this journey of life and we come into the world, God's property, because he creates us and we're his children. And then through life, we end up being owned by something else. And so God has to repurchase us. He's got to buy us back. And he does that through his son, Christ, on the cross. The next definition is to change for the better or reform, to change for the better. This is huge because too many Christians today have set their goals way too low. Like your spiritual goals are way too low. Like the entire reason you're in church, like your goal for being in church for most Christians today is way too low, because the goal is simply help me stop doing the bad. Like get the bad out of my life. Like pastor, help me stop doing this bad stuff. Help me deal with this junk. Help me get rid of my issues. Help me get the bad to stop. That's not God's purpose for you. That's part of the process. Like God wants to do that, but you set your spiritual goal way too low. God doesn't want to just help you stop doing the bad. God wants you to start living a life of good. He wants to give you a life of purpose, a life of destiny. It's not just about working on your issues. It's working on your issues so that you can live the life you were always created to live, a life of incredible purpose. Then the last definition I found in the dictionary is repair or restore. That's where we get the word restoration. God wants to restore you to that original condition before you got dinged up and in all those wrecks. And God wants to put you back together so that you can be used again for his purpose. And this is what God wants to do in your life. So let me ask the question. If studies tell us that 87% of Christians never get here, like, think about that. 87% of people, like the average in our church, 87% of people never get to this place. Here's the question. Why do so few people drink out of this cup? Why do so few people drink out of this cup? Well, the answer to that question is found in the promise itself. Remember, in the promise, I said, God, this is the only promise. He tells you how he's going to do it. And there's a why behind the how. So let's look at this. He says, I'll redeem you two ways. The first is with an outstretched arm. Now, have you ever thought why God has to outstretch his arm to redeem us? Like, why is God's arm outstretched? Here's the reason. Because most of us are lower than where God sees us. Like God created you to live a life up here and you're living a life down here. So God has to outstretch his arm to get you to where he sees you. You see, the problem is most of us don't see ourselves the way God sees us. Most of us don't look at our life the way God looks at our life. Like we see ourselves much lower than the way God sees us. God sees you with greatness inside. God sees you with all this potential and all this purpose and all this power and all this destiny and all this greatness inside of us, but most of us don't see ourselves the way God sees us. And here's the problem. In your notes, I put one of the problems that keeps us from drinking this cup is inferiority. We have a spiritual inferiority complex. Some of us have a natural inferiority complex, but a lot of us have a spiritual inferiority complex. We think because of our past and what we've been through and what we've done that we're somehow disqualified. And if we're not disqualified, but we've somehow lessened our calling. Like God can never use me for his original plans because I made mistakes and I messed up and I got all this junk in my life. And so we have this spiritual inferiority complex because we don't see the greatness that God sees inside of us. And let me say, God does not want you to maintain a view of inferiority. His plan is to make you great. Psalm 18, verse 35, David says it like this, you stoop down to make me great. God's plan is to make you great. God desires to make you great. God wants you to begin to see yourself the way he sees you. Because he sees you with greatness. He sees you with the power of his son inside of you and his life and his spirit. And he sees you with all this purpose and all this potential. But the problem, again, is we don't see ourselves the way God sees us because we live under condemnation. See, you've got an enemy that keeps condemning you. You have an enemy that keeps telling you, you made mistakes. You failed. God can never use you like that. Why do you think God's going to do it for you? You know, this message isn't for you. It's for everyone else here. You've disqualified yourself. Yeah, what he's saying is true, but you don't count. And you have that condemnation of the enemy saying, it reminds me of a joke that I love to tell. I've told this a couple times, so if you've heard it before and didn't think it was funny, just deal with it. I think it's funny. I don't care. I laugh at it. But a guy was in a pet store, and he's walking around this pet store, and there was this parrot. And the parrot sees the guy, and he looks over at the guy, and he goes, hey, you. And the guy looks at the parrot, and he goes, are you talking to me? And the parrot said, yeah, come here. And so the guy goes over to the parrot and he looks at the parrot. He's like, what do you want? And the parrot looks at him and goes, you are the ugliest person I have ever seen in my life. And the guy's mad. He's offended. So he goes to the owner of the store. He says, your parrot just insulted me. So the owner takes the parrot and smacks him upside the beak and pulls some feathers out and says, don't you talk to my customers that way. A couple months later, the guy's, you know, wandering around the store and just minding his own business. The parrot sees him. He goes, hey, you. And the guy looks at the parrot and said, are you talking to me? The guy says, yeah, I'm talking to you. And so he goes over to the parrot. He goes, what? And the parrot looks at him. He goes, you know what? I don't care. That's funny. I don't care what you think. But see, that's what Satan does to you. See, some of you will sit in church today and you'll begin to have hope. You'll hear this message and hope will begin to come back to your heart. And you'll begin to think that maybe it is true. Maybe I can do something great for God. Maybe I have potential. And then all of a sudden, Satan's going to start whispering in your ear, you know what? You know what? You know what you did last night? You know what you did last week? You know what you did last year? You know who you are? Why do you think this applies to you? He's talking to everyone else. You've disqualified yourself. And he starts saying that you know what? What you have to do is you've got to keep yourself. See, the devil doesn't want you to see yourself the way God sees you. So let me show you how God sees you. Ephesians 2, verse 10. We are God's masterpiece. We're God's masterpiece. He handcrafted us. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things he planned for us long ago. God made you a masterpiece. He made you with purpose. He has good things for you to do. That's why God outstretches his arm. He wants to pull you up to where he sees you. He wants to pull you up to where he, because so many of us are much, much lower than how God sees us and where God wants us. The second way he redeems us, remember it says, with mighty acts of judgment. With mighty acts of judgment. So here's the question. Who are these mighty acts of judgment reserved for? Like, who is he judging? He's judging your enemy, the devil. This isn't for you. This is for the devil. This is, you know, if you know the Passover story, the mighty acts of judgment were the plagues on Pharaoh. He was judging Pharaoh's plan for his people, and that's what he's doing today. He's judging the devil's plan for you, because whether you know it or not, the devil has a plan for your life. And he's working very hard for you to buy into his plan and not follow God's plan. So that Satan has an enemy to keep you from drinking this cup. And one of the strategies that Satan uses to keep you from drinking this cup is he'll offer you another plan for your life. That's his strategy. See, this cup is about God's plan for your life. And what Satan will do is offer you another plan for your life. And it's what I call in your notes, the diversion. The diversion. All of us have one. I think everybody here will agree with me that we all have a part of our story that we're pretty sure God didn't plan. You know, we lived it, but it wasn't God's plan. See, you need to know, the Bible says God orders every one of your steps. Like your life is planned out. And some of you are thinking, well, if God planned out my life and ordered my steps, he did a pretty terrible job. No, you added chapters to the story that God didn't write. You understand what I'm saying? We've all went off script. We all added some chapters to our life story that were never part of God's plan for us. Some chapters that took us off course. It's that diversion. It's the plan that Satan offered you to take a different journey that wasn't the journey that God wrote for you. And sometimes the diversion is the messy situations we get into. Like, we get into some pretty tough, difficult situations that divert us off of God's plan. Sometimes the diversion is success. Here in North County, I'm willing to say that most people have been diverted by success from God's plan. Like, they're chasing things that really don't matter. And even if you achieve all of those goals and you achieve everything you're chasing, you still wake up in the morning saying, what's it all for? Like, why am I working so hard? Is this really what my life is? Is this it? Like, is this really it? Or is there more out there? And the thing is, you've been diverted. See, you can still use your gifts and your talents and your passions and your career and your skills for the kingdom, but if Satan has diverted you to use it for something else, you're going to end up empty. Let me show you this diversion in Scripture. 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 18. Paul says, we wanted very much to come to you, and I, Paul, tried again and again, but Satan, see, you have an enemy, diverted us or prevented us. This word prevented in the Greek is enkato, which means to impede one's progress with a distraction. That's Satan's goals. He wants to impede your progress with a distraction. He wants to distract you. He wants to cut a ditch in your path. He wants to divert you. He wants to get you to take a different journey. And here's the thing about Satan. Satan can't touch you. So what he does is he touches your path. See, if Satan can't mess with you, he'll mess with the road in front of you to get you to go off course. And what we do oftentimes is instead of learning how to become an overcomer, instead of learning how to deal with what he puts in front of us, we take a different path. And we get all off course and we find ourselves in situations that we never planned on being and God never planned on us being there. So here's a question, what do we do? Like everything you're saying, that feels like me right now. I feel like I'm heading down a road that I was never meant to head down. I feel like I'm somewhere that this definitely wasn't God's, you know, God didn't write the chapter I'm in right now. So what do I do? And I know there's many people who feel that way. Here's the good news. Romans 8, verse 28. We know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God. What that means is God can take any path that you are currently on and he can re-divert it back to his plan for your life. It doesn't matter where you're at. It doesn't matter what road you are currently walking on. The good news of God, his grace and his love and his mercy is he can take you no matter where you're at right now and he can re-divert you back to his plan for your life. That's his grace. That's his mercy. Let me put it like this. Can I get to Los Angeles from here through Palm Springs? Well, the answer is yes, but it's going to add a lot of hours to my trip that I really don't need to take. See, that's the same thing spiritually. God can get you here from where you're at. The problem is you just kind of took the long way around, and all of us have done it. All of us have added chapters to our life that were never part of his plan. So the good news is he'll re-divert it. He'll bring you back. If you'll drink out of this cup, God will bring you back to your route, to your road, to the journey he wants you on, which is a life of fulfillment, peace, purpose. Here, let me give you one more to really reinforce this. Romans 11, 29. I love this one. God's gift and God's call. God's gift and God's call. Listen, every single one of you has a gift. Every human being alive, God created with a gift. And every human being has a call. You have a call for your life. It doesn't matter whether you've ever lived it out. It doesn't matter whether you've ever done it. It doesn't matter where you're currently at right now. You have a call. Listen to what God says about his call, his plan for your life. God's gift and God's call are under full warranty. I love that. They're under full warranty. They are never canceled and they are never rescinded. In other words, God never changes his mind about you. It doesn't matter where you're at right now. It doesn't matter where you've been. God's call for your life will never be canceled no matter how hard you try. Like you can try to ruin your life as much as you want to ruin your life. You can make all the bad choices and go down all the bad roads, and you can get yourself in such a messed up situation that you don't even have any hope at all how anyone could ever fix it or get you out. What you need to understand about God is his call for your life is never canceled and it's never rescinded, and he will get you back. If you will surrender to him, he will re-divert your path. He will bring you back. He can and will always fulfill his plan for you no matter where you're currently at or the condition you're in. So how does he do it? It's when you begin to drink out of this third cup, the cup of redemption. That's how he gets you back on track. See, all of us, you know, we've got chapters in our life we didn't want. Some of us are currently living in the chapter we don't want. If you'll begin to drink out of this cup, if you will allow the redemption promise to begin to take place in your life, God will re-divert you back. So let me give you two words for how God actually does this. Spiritual gifts. This is done through spiritual gifts. And I'm going to explain that. And I know a lot of people like to shy away from spiritual gifts because, you know, sometimes it gets into stuff they don't understand. Or these aren't weird at all. These are very normal things that you're going to discover. And when you begin to discover your spiritual gifts, this is how the Bible describes this entire cup of redemption. You see, the way God gets you on the pathway to your purpose, on the pathway to your destiny, is for you to discover the spiritual gifts he placed inside of you. What you have to understand is you were created with gifts. Like God, when he designed you and hardwired and put you together, he put you together with certain spiritual gifts. Romans 12:6 says, we have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. Now, this word grace is the Greek word charis. It's the Greek word charis. It literally means divine ability, grace gift, or easy to do. That's what charis is. You just have a divine ability to do it. You have a grace gift. It's just easy for you. It just comes natural. Like for me, standing on the stage today, this is my charis. This is easy for me to do. It's natural. It's my grace gift. There are people here today that you would literally have an anxiety attack if you had to do this because you don't have a charis for it. It's not your grace gift. You don't have a divine ability. It's not easy for you to do, but there are things in your life that are very easy to do. Like you have we've got business guys in our church that have a charis for understanding business and finance and deals, and it flows. It's a divine ability. It's natural for them. It's a charis that God gave them to do business. We all have different charises. We have different divine gifts. We have different abilities that are just natural. Some of you have this charis to help the poor. Some of you have a charis to sing or lead in musical instruments or do other things. So what do we do with this charis that God gives us? 1 Corinthians 14:1, follow the way of love and eagerly desire spiritual gifts. So God wants you to eagerly desire these gifts. He wants you to understand that you have a gift and desire it and really begin to figure it out. Because again, the research tells us 87% of the body of Christ, 87% of people who follow Jesus don't know what their spiritual gift is. What a tragedy. What a shame. Could you imagine what it would be like if my foot didn't know its job? How hard my life would be if my foot didn't know what its job was? Or if my hand didn't know what it's, or my eye didn't know what his job was, and was just, you know, can you imagine if 87% of my body didn't know what it was here for? I would die. There is no way I could function or live if 87% of my body had no idea what their role in my body was. I would fall apart and die. And yet, that's what a lot of churches look like today, is 87% of people don't understand what their charis is. They don't, what is my divine ability? What is my gift? What did God hardwire me with? And this is why this is my favorite cup. I love the cup of redemption. I love watching the light bulb go on for people. I love watching people realize that Christianity is so much bigger than dealing with your issues. That the real purpose of Christianity is to get you to a life of destiny and purpose and fulfillment. And yet, listen, we're going to help you with your issues. We have a whole cup designed to help you get free and work out some of the issues in your life. But you need to understand that's not the goal. That's part of the process. But our goal is not just to help you deal with your issues. Our goal is to help you move into cup 3 and 4, where you can really discover that God has something so much bigger than your problems. God has purpose and destiny. And you have this massive greatness inside of you to live out in your life. That's what it's all about. So let me give you 3 very practical steps for you to begin to drink out of this cup. Number 1 is you need to discover your gift. Plain and simple, you've got to discover your gift. You got to figure out that God gave you a gift and you're on this journey. And so the question is, well, get me started. Show me how to discover my gift. Where do I start? Well, this is exactly why we developed Discovery 301, the class in our church. It's going to be next Sunday at 9:30 a.m. Next Sunday during this service, we're doing Discovery 301. Now, let me say, it's not perfect, but it's the best place to start. Because during this class, we're going to do a spiritual gifts test so you can begin to look and identify some of the spiritual gifts inside of you. We're going to do a passion assessment, disc profile. You're going to begin to understand how God hardwired you. Now, it's not going to answer every question in your life, but it's going to get you started on this journey. It's going to be a great starting place because somewhere in the way God hardwired you, somewhere in how God programmed you, he's going to reveal his purpose to you. This is the way I want you to think. God did not create a purpose for you. God created you for a purpose. Now think about that. You didn't find Christ, and then God said, well, I didn't see that one coming, so let's figure out something for them to do to keep them out of trouble. No, God had this purpose. And so what God did, it says, I need somebody to accomplish this purpose, so I'm going to design somebody that's perfectly suited to accomplish this purpose. And so God handcrafted you for the purpose. So the same God that had the purpose in mind as he was creating you, wouldn't it make sense that somewhere in your design, he's going to give you the ability to accomplish the purpose? Wouldn't that make sense? Like if God created you specifically for this, wouldn't that God give you the ability, the talents, and the gifts to do it? So somewhere in how God hardwires you, you're going to discover the why he made you in the how. Psalm 139, verse 13. You made all the delicate inner parts of my body and knit me together in my mother's womb. God literally took his time and created a masterpiece with you. He handcrafted you. He knit you together. He built you and hardwired you. Thank you for making me so wonderfully complex. Your workmanship is marvelous, how well I know it. So here's the key truth. Design reveals destiny. That's why we do Discovery 301. If you've never taken Discovery 301, I encourage you to come next week at 9:30 because somewhere in the way God hardwired you and designed you, you're going to discover. He's going to reveal your destiny. And here's the key to understanding this. It's that God has to be in it. What do I mean? You're not going to figure this out any other way. You will not figure this out in your career, in education, in therapy. The only way to discover this is God, because he hardwired you. He made you, and he's the only one that can tell you why. Ephesians 1, verse 11. It's in Christ that we find out who we are and what we're living for. Long before we first heard of Christ and we got our hopes up, he had his eye on us. See, he had his eye on us and had designs on us because he built us and he created us. So he had these designs on us for glorious living. He didn't create you for the life you're living now. He created you for this glorious life, a life of fulfillment. Jesus said a rich, satisfying life. That's the life he designed you for. Part of the overall purpose he is working out in everything and everyone. Here's one more, Colossians 1 verse 16, for everything. Everything, absolutely everything, above, below, visible, invisible, everything got started in him and finds its purpose in him. You're not going to find your purpose anywhere else. You're not going to discover it anywhere but him. That's why I love my job. I really love my job because I know you're not going to figure this out anywhere else. Like you go do everything this world has, that you go to all the meditation you want, all the therapy you want. You go do everything this, you're not going to figure it out. Only God can tell you why he made you. And it's in that design that you're going to figure this out. So here's number two. First, discover the gift. Number two, develop your gift. You need to develop the gifts God has given you. And the reason we develop it is because it's not perfect when you discover it. Like when you discover it, it's raw potential that has to be developed. It has to be practiced. It has to be trained, which is the real purpose of why we do church. Like, I don't know if you've ever thought about it or not, but the only reason we're here today is to help you develop your gift. That's it, to introduce people to Christ and develop your gift. We're not here to build a club of good people. I'm not here to teach you a nice little truth on how to live a better life and how to have less anxiety. That's not why we're here. Do you want to know the real reason for why God created pastors and called pastors and why God created the church and uses the church? It's to help you develop your gift. Let me show it to you biblically. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 7. But to each one of us, that's everyone here, each one of us, grace, that's charis, that grace gift, has been given as Christ apportioned it. So everyone here has a gift. Everyone here has a divine ability. It's your job to figure out what it is with God's help. So you've got this divine ability. Now, look at what he says next. Because you have this charis, because you have this divine ability, Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, the teachers. That's those of us that are the full-time guys, those of us that run church, that pastor the church. Now, why did he give us? Well, because he gave you a charis, then he gave you us. Why? To equip his people for works of service. My job is to equip you for the work of ministry. My job is to equip you to use the gift God hid inside of you, God designed you with, God put inside of you. That's the purpose of church. So my real job is to create a church experience where you can systematically go through a process to fulfill all that God has for you. That's why we've designed our church around these four promises. I'm just not interested in doing a lot of things as a church. At the end of the day, the only thing that really interests me is helping you drink out of these four cups. And so we've designed our entire church to systematically go through a process for these promises to be realized in your life. We're not here to give you history lessons. We're here for you to experience the fullness of everything God has for you. So the way we really do this cup better than, and again, it's not a perfect way, but it's the best way we have. It's the growth track. We ask everyone in our church to go through four classes to begin this journey. The first class is Church 101. It's all about membership. Why? Because the fourth promise says God created you to be a part of a people. So you're only going to figure out all of this in his family. Like, you're not going to get it without his family. So you are created to be a part of a family. You are because you can't fulfill your purpose on your own. That's the fourth promise we're going to get into last week. God says, I'll take you, and then I'm going to make you a people. So it's not about you being individual anymore. It's about you being part of a family. So that's membership. Then Essentials 201 is all about your spiritual health. Remember, Paul said it's only in him that you're going to figure all this stuff out. So my job is to get you close to him. In other words, my job is to get you spiritually healthy so that you can figure out what he has for you. Then there's the third class. We're doing it next week. Self-discovery, Discovery 301. You starting to figure out what is your gift and how do you use your gift and how you develop. And then move you into the fourth promise, which is ministry, which is Dream Team 401, a whole class teaching you how to use your gift, teaching you how to find a place to serve. This is what our dream team is all about. See, our dream team isn't volunteers. Like, we don't have any volunteers in our church. We didn't celebrate volunteers last night. We celebrated people who are using their gift for the kingdom. That's why the motto of the dream team is, I was made for this. And I encourage you, find your place. Find a dream team. Most people get it right the first time. I say 75 to 80% of people get it right the first time. But if you don't get it right the first time, keep trying. Because it is absolutely critical that you are on this spiritual journey. So, my request, if I'm going to be your tour guide, if I'm going to be your shepherd, if you're going to call me pastor, my request is you give us four Sundays to go through these four classes. Give us four Sundays so we can help begin this journey in your life. Because again, we're not here just to do history lessons. I'm here to help move you through this process of experiencing these four promises in your life. And so here's the third one to close with. And this is just a tease for next week's message. Because this is what all of next week's going to be about. Number three is use your gift. Use your gift. Like, once you discover it and once you begin to develop, use it. Because you've never really experienced life until you discover that thing you were created for. And you begin to do it to make a difference. You'll go to bed differently at night. You'll have this peace. You'll wake up excited. You'll have a sense of fulfillment in every area of your life. It'll make your career better. It'll make your marriage better. When you begin to live for your kingdom purpose, it'll make every area of your life so much more rich and meaningful. Peter says in 1 Peter 4:10, God has given each of you a gift. Again, you're going to see this all throughout Scripture. You have a gift. Whether you recognized it or not, you have a gift. And with a gift comes responsibility. So you're responsible for that gift. Like, when you stand before God one day, he's going to ask you, what did you do with the gift I gave you? Well, I didn't know you gave me a gift. That's not going to fly. He gave you a gift. You got to figure out what it is. He'll help you. We've created processes in place to help you with this. God has given each of you a gift from his great variety of spiritual gifts. Now, here's the command. Like, if you want to follow Jesus, here's the command. Use them. Use that gift well to serve one another. That's why we celebrated our dream team last night, because they're people who are using their gift to serve one another. They're using their gift to make a difference. They're using their gift to advance the kingdom. They're not just taking this as a suggestion. They're taking this literally. This is scripture. This is all right. If I'm a believer, God put gifts in me. My job, my responsibility is to find that gift and then use it to make a difference in the lives of other people. And here's the promise God makes you. I shared this last night with our dream team, and I want to share this again today, because this is the promise God makes for those who serve every Sunday around here. Like, we have people who are using their gift to direct traffic and using their gift to get up early in the morning and prepare coffee and donuts and using their gift to care for the children and using their gift to lead small groups and using their gift to make this happen every single week. And you work hard. I want you to know, the tech team in the back that does the screens and the media team and the music team, and we have so many dream teams around here using their gift to make all of this possible. And here's God's promise to you. For God is not unjust. He will not forget how hard you have worked for him. Some of you are working hard. Every Sunday you're working hard on the dream team. God's not going to forget how hard you worked and how you have shown love for him. That's interesting that God looks at your hard work as love for him. Like, God, I was just working hard. No, you're loving me by doing that. When you serve on the dream team on Sunday, God looks at that as loving him. Like, when you're preparing the coffee, God looks at that as loving him. When you're out directing traffic, God looks at that as loving him. He says, you have shown love to him by caring for other believers. That's what you do every week. So when you care for others, when you serve others, when you use the gift that God gave you, as Peter said, and you use it to serve others, God says, that's how you show love to me. So, here's the final thought. Our ultimate act of worship is not getting up in the morning reading the Bible. It's not singing for 15 minutes on Sunday. According to God, our ultimate act of worship is how we use our gifts to serve people. And so my purpose is to serve God by serving others. And this is the only thing that's going to bring you into true fulfillment. Like, if you want to go to bed at night with just a life is so good. Like, I'm living the life I was created to live. It's not an achievement. It's not in success. That'll leave you empty. You want to go to bed at night with real satisfaction? Use your gift that God gave you to serve others. See the difference it makes. And you're going to experience what life was really all about. Would you close your eyes for a moment? As we prepare to live, let me just say, there's some people here that this is all wonderful, and like you're excited to get here, but you haven't even taken the first step. Like you're here today thinking, I need to drink out of the first cup. Like, I haven't even surrendered my life to Jesus, and you need to know that it's only in him that any of this will work. Like, you will never discover the third cup without Jesus in your life. It will not happen. You can serve other people without Jesus. And there's a lot of people, you know, it's popular today to, you know, do charity work, and they're just as empty because they're not doing it for eternal reasons. The only real fulfillment comes when you do it for eternal reasons. And that can only happen with Jesus. I mean, you can go try. I mean, take your time if you need to and go try. You'll be back. You'll be back. I know, I've been doing this a long time. You're never going to figure any of this out without Jesus. And so for some of you, you need to take the first step, which is to totally surrender your life to Jesus, to say yes to him. So with every eye closed, I want to say a quick prayer with you. I'm not going to ask you to stand up or come to the front. You don't even have to say it out loud. But just so that I know who I'm praying with today, with no one looking around, if you want to join me in a simple prayer of just saying, you know what, it's time that I really surrender my whole life to Jesus. I've tried it on my own. It hasn't really worked out well. I think I'm ready to try it his way and really surrender it all. So if that's you, would you just, with no one looking around, just slip up your hand and say, I'd like to pray with you today, just so I know. Thank you. Thank you. Is anyone else? Thank you. Thank you. Is anyone else? Thanks. You can put your hands down. Prayer is very simple. Just in your heart right now, just say, Jesus, today I invite you to take first place. Jesus, I admit that I'm lost without you. I'm a sinner without you. Jesus, will you forgive me? And then lastly, Jesus, thank you for your grace. Amen. That's it. That's it. That's how easy it is to drink out of the first cup. When you pray that with your heart, the Bible says you are saved. Now let's begin the journey of the next three, because that's where life really gets good. And here's how you can do it. On your connection card, there's two boxes. One says I'm committing my life to Christ. One says I'm renewing my commitment to Christ. If your prayer reflects either one of those decisions, let us know so that we can pray about it, pray for you, and pray about that decision, and send you an email that helps get you started on this spiritual journey of the next cups and really help walk you through it. You can fill that out, drop it off on the tithing offering boxes in the back as you leave, and we'll help you get started on that journey. Would you stand with me as we close in prayer? Father, we thank you, Lord, that your promises for us are for purpose, potential, destiny, and that you see greatness inside of each and every one of us. And I pray right now against the lies of Satan over everyone here. There are people here today, right now, God, I just felt this in my spirit, people here today that are believing a lie about themselves, a lie that Satan created in their mind about who they are, and they're not looking at themselves right now the way you look at them. So right now, in the name of Jesus, I stand against that lie, and I ask that lie to be torn down in their life, and I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would reveal truth to them so that they can see how the Father sees them. In the name of Jesus, amen. Have a great week, everyone.